I'm Adam.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. Daddy!
Daddy! The Dad Experience.
Hey Matt, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not bad. I cannot say this time direct from the basement studios. I am in the basement studios, but I think you're in the is that the spare bedroom studios?
No, I'm in my bedroom.
You're studios. In the bedrooms. So did you kick your wife out? I mean, it's pretty late.
That's not that late. No. She's up pretty late.
She's up.
She's downstairs. Yeah.
Okay. So we're not like encroaching on, you know, her me time or anything like that right now?
No, that's why I'm up here, so I'm not interfering with what she's got going on.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's always important to have that me time, so I don't want to disrupt that. So how are things been going with you guys over there?
Been going good. Both kids are now back to school. It's like a nice soft intro. And once after Labor Day, then they kind of kick it up to gear with everybody else. So it's a nice slow couple weeks.
Right. Yeah. So it's an ease back in. So they probably enjoy that, though. So that's kind of, I don't know if they enjoy going back to school or what. But I mean, I'm sure that's a little bit better to kind of ease back in rather than just hit the ground running.
Yeah. My oldest, she's excited to see her friends every day. Mm-hmm. And the younger one, you know, last year was her first year of preschool, so she was very apprehensive and uncomfortable. But this year, you know, she knows the people, so she's jumped right back in.
Right. Well, that's good. So there is I'm assuming, but I'm not sure. I'm assuming that it's half day preschool.
No, it's full day.
Full day preschool now too, huh? I guess I should be keeping track of that.
This school doesn't offer half day.
I don't know.
There's other, you know, there's all kinds of schools that offer half day, full day, whatever. This school doesn't offer half day.
Right. Yeah, where I'm at, I know that kindergarten, and I know kindergarten has been a full day thing for a while now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess I haven't looked into preschool as much or been around it as much to know how that works. So, but that's good. So the girls are excited. And how are you doing with them going back?
I'm not sad. I'm not one of those guys that's sad about it, you know, that they're growing up, because one, they're excited to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ellie on her first day of preschool, 3 years ago now, she was like, "You're not coming in, right?" Like, she did not want me to. She was excited. So I was happy she got her freedom. I'm excited to kind of have some mental space to actually focus and maybe get in the flow of something.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a lot of stuff planned and projects planned, so I'll be glad to have a clear mind and have a chunk of time to actually focus.
Right. Yeah. And any exciting projects that you can share with us, or?
Just for the house. Like, you know, we moved in a new house, and I got a room that's kind of designated for me, but right now it's just full of boxes, so I'm working on some shelves.
Nice.
Build some shelves, yeah.
What are you going to do with said room? Just like an office room or what?
Like an office room. Yeah, a place where I can write for the blog or bring out the sewing machine and work on some projects with kids, or just kind of a place to focus. Right now, I bring out the computer and it takes up the whole kitchen, and then where do I put it away? So I feel like everything's always messy or out, and it kind of bugs me a little bit. So
yeah, so. You mentioned the sewing machine. Do you you guys do the Halloween thing? I'm assuming you do the Halloween thing. We've never really talked about that. Do you guys do Halloween?
Yeah, we do Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if you did or not. You know, some people do, some people don't. And it's not something that's come up yet. But do you make the costumes for the kids?
I have, but last year, you know, we were in the midst of moving.
Right.
I wasn't able to, so I had to have my mom do it.
Mm-hmm. But they're still homemade costumes. That's cool. That's how mine were all the time when I was a child.
Yeah, but it's expensive.
Is it expensive to make your own?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it, you get a better quality, but I made Ellie an Elsa costume when she was in preschool. And I spent $50 on fabric.
Wow.
It was a gorgeous costume, and now Chloe fits into it, and so she's wearing it. I mean, I made sure it was a dress-up thing. It wasn't just like one, and then you had to put it away, but...
Yeah, so they had in like the dress-up trust or something.
Yeah, but you could go to Target and you could buy an Elsa costume for $15, $20. I mean, they range depending on the quality, but...
Right, yeah, you know, and I have, I do a Halloween concert every year, and I know from experience I do buy those, and they do not last very long. Yeah. So, which is, I have to start thinking about that. I have to start thinking about what we're doing for our daughter, and then I have to start thinking about what I got to do, because we do, like I said, we do a big Halloween concert every year where the community comes out and... You know, hangs out and watches the show, and the kids dress up, and the audience members, we encourage them to dress up. So it's kind of cool. That's cool. To still do the Halloween and do kind of a community event with them. So it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. But that's cool though. You know, it's, and it, but it means more. You know, I don't even know if I had any costumes that weren't made by my mom when I was a kid. But regardless, those are the most memorable. Even the ones that I bought now that I try and be clever with or whatever, they don't even compare to the ones that I remember as a child, because they're just, well, one, they're made, you know, made tailored for you, but they just seem so much better even then.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, it seemed so much better that, you know, even that long ago that it was that different of a quality. So, and, you know, now they're just like, you get the ones that are like the dresses like you're talking about or whatever, and they're just like a thin spandex like fabric that like tears. So
right,
totally. Well, that's cool. I'd love to see some of those costumes. Maybe when they grow out of them, we can borrow one for Miss Eleanor or something.
Yeah, well, when Ellie was, I think, 2 or 3, I made her a robot ballerina costume that lit up.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that, and then cool. she started requesting what she wanted. So
yeah, so then there was no more. So get them in now if I want something. I want to put Eleanor in, like, I want her to be, like, possibly the Stay Puff.
Oh, that's cool.
That would be fun. That would be fun for me.
Yeah, but I when know Ellie that... was one-ish, she, I made her a werewolf, so I called her the Werebaby.
Nice. So, creative ideas. Do you have anything on your blog about doing any of that stuff?
The Werebaby is up there, and the robot ballerina.
Like, did you talk about when you did them, or just photos?
I talked about when I did it. Cool. It's more about like going to Joann Fabrics and how crazy it was.
But that's cool. You know, that's good. I want people, maybe they'll be able to, especially since we're coming up on that season, and I'm sure, well, I don't know if people are starting to think about what the costume is yet, but, you know, I'm sure that's going to start happening in the next few weeks.
That's the thing with Halloween that kind of bugs me now, is like Halloween used to be a 2 to 3 week holiday. And now, like, as soon as Labor Day hits, like, it's 2 months of Halloween.
So, I've already seen Halloween, like, stuff out. Like, I've already seen the pumpkins, and I think out here the cider mill started opening last weekend, like, full opening, you know.
Right.
Last weekend, so
pumpkin, you know, fall pumpkin is in the air. Spice flavored everything.
Yeah.
And so by the time Halloween comes, I'm like, I'm sick of pumpkin, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I am, you know, I feel ya. But now I've got like this thing in my brain going, oh my gosh, it's coming up, and I've got a concert in a few months. Mm-hmm. So, man, that's like going to be a quick turnaround, but it'll all be good. It'll all be good. We'll get there, right? So, be creative. That's all we can be. But no, cool. So people can go and check out kind of your experience with that and making those things. I know you know, the dadexperience.com or the good, the dad, and the baby. I said the dad experience. That's our name of the show.
The domestic specialist.
Oh my gosh. I haven't gotten much sleep. So let's do that again. Let's talk about that again. Let's make sure that the listeners know exactly what it is. Matt, go ahead and tell them.
It's thedomesticspecialist.com.
Yeah, don't go to the other ones. There is no website for us. You can find us on Facebook, but you can't find us on a website. And then the other one is probably not up anymore. Does it redirect anymore or no?
It redirects.
Well, at least they could redirect to that. But all right, yeah. So domesticspecialist.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's cool.
So are you back to school?
I had a couple teacher days today and yesterday, which were good days. It's always fun, even for me as a teacher, to go back to see the people I haven't seen all summer. And, you know, last year, well, I transferred back to an older building that I started in years ago, because now I'm teaching high school. and I'm doing the director of the high school bands there now where I teach. So it's a little bit scary for me going back, just because it's not necessarily new, but it's a different job, and it's a more it's got a lot different exposures. You know, middle school has exposures, but the high school is kind of like it's looked at in the community a lot more. You know, it's sought after for different events, and you have the marching band, which does the halftime shows and all those great things. But so it's a little bit nerve-wracking, especially knowing that, you know, in what, a month and a half, 2 months, I've got a concert that I have to be ready for, which we'll be fine. But so it's a little nerve-wracking, the different things that are coming up. And then, you know, every year with the start of the year, you've got new things that come down from wherever you're at, legislative or whatever, new, you know, school tasks that, you know, to help make your school better for the students. And so everything's always kind of a little bit uneasy and nerve-wracking, because you're not sure, and you're not sure what you're going to have to do or how you're going to fit it all in. But obviously it all ends up working out. I work with some great people. It's a really good community that I work in too. So it's pretty, it's very, very, very great to go back. So it's almost like the kids for me that I get when I go back. I get that feeling of like what you were saying with your daughters. I get to go see, you know, a lot of my friends every day there. You know, so that's the fun part of it. And, you know, for me, I've already been kind of going back a lot, being, the marching band director as well. So we've already done like band camps, and then we've had, we already had one football game. We had another community event last night, and then I have another football game tomorrow. So it's been kind of, it's already of a full week. Yeah. I've had three performances before even school starts, but the kids are doing awesome. They're handling it well, and we're doing some fun things, and we're,
what's your show?
The show this year, we're doing Sounds of Detroit.
Oh, that's cool.
A bunch of, Detroit made music. It was originally called the Motown Show when I was looking at it, but and I think our listeners know I'm kind of a music snob, obviously, I guess, but I it had like three Motown tunes in it. It had a Temptations song, a Marvin Gaye tune, and it had a Jackson 5 song, and then it had an Aretha Franklin song, who is from Detroit. But she's not Motown.
Label.
She's Atlantic, you know. So
yeah.
I'm kind of a purist in that way, I guess. It's always been a pet peeve of mine that people always think that she's Motown. So, you know, she's a part of the Detroit music scene. So that's why I kind of changed the name to the Sounds of Detroit, because it's all Detroit artists. But I guess you could go even farther that way and saying, was it really a sound of Detroit? But she came out of Detroit. So that's kind of why I changed it there. But it's a fun show. My kids really enjoy it. The families enjoy it. So, you know, and it makes it fun for me, because it's the type of music that I like.
That's cool.
Really cool, exciting things too, though, is my daughter has come now to a football game. So she got to kind of come and hang out and see me there and, you know, get excited about the crowd. And she hung out with me on the football field when we were doing the show, and my wife did. So it was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It's just now becoming the point of balancing how to be home. Mm-hmm. And not get home, you know. I on football game days during the school year, I'll leave at like 5 a.m., quarter after 5 in the morning, and get home at about 11:30 after a football game on a Friday. So it's a long 11:30 p.m. So it's a long day. So now it's getting to that point in the fall where how do you balance family and work life and still give 100%, you know, to my students while giving 100% at home. So it's, you know,
that's a tough balance.
It's becoming stressful, and my wife's a teacher too, so she's starting to get back to work and setting up classrooms. So, you know, you put all that in the mix. And then last year we were really lucky, because right after my wife was off maternity leave, my parents watched our daughter and her dad watched our daughter, you know, until she had to have surgery, because she couldn't really go to daycare.
Right.
So we did a trial day of daycare this week, and it went really well. It was very stressful. It was different. You know,
stressful for you or stressful for your kid?
I think stressful for us. Our daughter had a great time. They do some great activities. I guess the first day they were day, they did like something, some ooey gooey day, and they just made a mess and did art with like paint, and with like her, my daughter's first piece of art is hanging on our fridge. You know, we're already starting that. So, you know, she had paint all over her feet and was, you know, painting up the page. So the people that she's going to, they're awesome. They're great people. So, and they do tons of activities with the kids, and it's a small group of kids. They don't have a lot of children. It's just a handful.
Cool.
You know, 5 to 6, I think. I can't remember exactly how many, but it's very small, so we're lucky in that sense, too. So it's more of a family-oriented idea. So when you know that she's going there, it's a little bit different. But still, you know, it was hard for me. I think it was even harder for my wife.
Understandably.
But that's – and understandably, of course, yeah. And, you know, I think partly for me is – I went back to work, you know, 2 weeks after she was born, and I was there, and she's spent so much time with her early on, and then we're off in the summer. So it made it for some stressful times, I know, for me and for her, and it's great to see that it went really well, but it's been, you know, up and down, and we're both kind of on pins and needles. You know, it's a different experience this year than in years past. You know, we always get that little bit of anxiety going back to work as a teacher,
mm-hmm.
but you know, like after breaks or after work or after the summer. But this year was a little different, just because you know that we've spent so much time with her, you know, nonstop, and you know,
yeah.
I've had a. Not that other people don't bond. Obviously, everybody has a different bond. But, you know, that bond that we had at the beginning of the summer with the heart surgery. And it's been it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, you know, she's growing up and she's doing well. And this is just the next progression that you want to see happen. But yet you don't, you know, we're kind of still slowly coming out of the shell of being okay with everything because we've been so protective and I don't want to say overprotective because I don't think we were, but I think that we were so used to being protective of her because of, you know, her having, AVSD and the heart condition and until she got that repaired, we had to be very careful. She couldn't be around and get sick. So,
right.
We're coming out of that shell, which feels great. It was great to go to the zoo for the first time, or it was great to go on a family vacation for a weekend. You know, those things were awesome. And now it's this next progression of life of, okay, now we're going to go back to work and life has to go on. And, you know, I wish we were all millionaires and we didn't have to work, but, you know, we're not a part of that 1%. So,
right.
You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, and it's part of life. You know, my parents both worked after a certain age when I was born, and yeah, she's going to turn out great. And we're really, really lucky that we have people that are caring for her that are very, very, very good with her. And so it's been stressful. You know, you think that having the time off in the summer as a teacher, you know, I hear it all the time. Oh, you get the summers off as a teacher, which we do. But I think sometimes it's just tough to go back. You know, you're home so long. It's so hard. Like, and I'm sure there's people out there listening to me right now. Oh, there's a teacher whining about going back. But it's not even that. It's just getting prepared to go back. So it's been an experience.
It's just like any vacation.
No, it is. It is. And it's just, I think, you know, when you're on a longer vacation, it's even harder. You know, you get used to that lifestyle. And it was a good summer, though. It was overall, it was a good summer. I finally got around to me doing some projects at the end of the summer for family, and we've met more of our neighbors now too, because we've only been in the house just over a year here. So it was a pretty good, especially the end of the summer. There was a pretty good end of summer. Did some built a huge movie screen for the backyard for the family and the kids, so we can have outdoor movies or in the winter in the basement. So it's been good but stressful. So it's trying to, how do you manage that, and how do you manage it in a relationship too without, you know, jumping down each other's throat. I mean, I don't know. How do you do it? How do you guys handle it when, you know, when there's that stressful time of the year? You know, we try and talk and we try and work through it. But, you know, there's still days that it's tough. It's tough. I'm not going to lie.
I think we always just try to find time to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, feels like at least once a month, try to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, she has things that she does that are her own, and I have things that mm-hmm. I do that are my own.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, early on when, you know, Ellie was just a baby, it was harder because we didn't go out much at all.
Yeah.
It was a tougher balance.
Yeah. And I don't think and my wife will be the first one to say it. And you know, I've become a homebody more recently, more now so than I was before. I was always on the go. And she definitely is trying to encourage me to go out and do more things and for us. And I need to just go on and do that stuff for her and I. And spend some time together, because I think it does. It gets too caught up in the talking about poop and pee and when was the last time that she ate, and there's really no other, a whole lot of adult conversations going on a lot. And by the time she goes to bed, everybody's exhausted. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, you got to find that balance and stress. So, you know, it's tough, and it's been an experience. I can tell you that it's been an experience. So, you know, just move forward, and the next day, hopefully, you know, it'll be a little bit better. But it's been good overall. It's been good. Nothing is horrible. You know.
Yeah.
It's just stressful. It's just stressful. So yeah, I don't know.
It's a good way to say it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, and it's a learning experience for us, because we don't have another child to base it on.
Right.
So it's been, how do we find the balance? And I'll tell you, maybe if there is a next one, maybe we'll be better at it. Did it get easier with the second one?
I mean, it was hard to compare because the personalities are so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine the age difference between them would be a factor. You know, they're both girls. They get along. If they were, you know, who knows?
I don't know. For your experience, though,
for
was
us? I guess so. You know, I had a lot of postpartum depression with Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
With Chloe, she didn't.
Okay.
So I know that was a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, she didn't want to let go of Chloe much.
Okay.
And then my mother-in-law was in town for a month. I was also staying home, and like, I felt completely useless.
Right.
Yeah, it was just like, there's three adults to, like, the ratio to kids to adults seemed out of whack. And I was just like, I just feel like there's too many people here. Like, I just felt, and I didn't want to give up Chloe to me. And I just felt like, yeah, I had some postpartum depression with Chloe.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you fit in with that? So, and then how did you deal with it? I know depression's a big thing that kind of, it's talked about. I mean, you hear postpartum depression all the time for mothers, which, you know, and it's big. But I wouldn't be so far removed to say that I didn't experience some of that. And maybe some of that's experiencing now. Who knows? But
I did. You know, I did a quick search on the internet, and I did find some articles about postpartum depression and fathers. I think. It's for different reasons, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the woman's body goes through so much, and hormone changes and hormone levels. You know, I imagine for a guy, especially if you're, you know, you put a lot of weight on yourself of, you need to provide now. There's this kid and there's this extra weight added there. I know for Ellie, because I had so much postpartum depression, I felt almost like I couldn't acknowledge any of my feelings about dealing with the kid. Obviously, feelings, good or bad, I felt like I had to be like steady, because she was such in a dark place. I couldn't, you know, acknowledge my own feelings. And then when Chloe came and she was so happy, it was great to see her be so nurturing, and almost like Chloe healed her. But for me, it was, I just felt useless. So I was kind of a little bit depressed that way. But in general, I think in my life, I'm a depressed person, which has been hard to acknowledge. It's something I've started to discover recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that it's something that's always there underneath. And it just depends on how much I choose to acknowledge it. And sometimes it's very natural and comfortable to acknowledge that side. It's almost comforting in this weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a hard realization, and it's actually difficult to talk about too.
Right.
To talk about with people, because I know it's like on the surface there's nothing to be upset about. I've got a happy family. I've got a house. I got gorgeous kids that are smart and they get along. Like on the server, there's no reason to be depressed. But there's times where this feeling comes over and like the word depressed doesn't even like seem to like encompass that feeling. And, yeah, it's just it's a weird thing to deal with. And like, you know, I go to school, I function, I, you know, do what I need to do, but there's this like rain cloud, always there. And, this summer towards the end of summer, I think I went to a darker place and I really, really acknowledged, that darkness. And, which I think sometimes is good to indulge in a way. But yeah, I wasn't very happy there for a while.
Yeah. And so when you experienced this, I mean, did you talk about it? I mean, cause a lot of time, I mean, with different depression, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've experienced it too. You know, I've experienced depression, anxiety, all those great things. I'm being facetious when I say great things. They're not fun things. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Right.
But you know, and I do experience that, and it's, you know, how do you manage it, or how have you, you know, you said it's been towards the end of the summer, so maybe it hasn't, or maybe it has. How have you kind of begun to pull yourself out, or look towards pulling yourself out of that, or what are you looking towards? Is it good, you know, is it anything to do with the kids going back to school, or is it, you know, I mean, how have you started to kind of recognize it, and then in the end, or in the flip side, how are you pulling yourself out, or how have you pulled yourself out?
Well, I know in my role being a stay-at-home dad, I find it hard to make genuine connections. And we went on this trip with these other families we're really close with, and we just had a really good time. And when we came back, I think I got bummed out that these people are not in my everyday. You know, we might send a text here or there, but, you know, we're all busy. Even though we all live fairly close to each other, we're all busy. I mean, everybody's busy.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I see some of the other parents at school that, you know, they show up after the break and they're like, oh, I haven't seen you. And there's these, like, genuine friendships and connections, and they can relax. And I don't ever feel like I can totally be myself. And I think I just kind of got bummed that I'm always like living with this mask of something all the time. And I just, you know, was like, I was taking 3 naps a day, you know, even though I had the kids and I didn't really care, I was still doing my basic duties. I mean, my kids are pretty self-sufficient now, but I'd go lay a nap. They can watch a show. I didn't really care. But then we went to Chicago to visit one of my best friends, and she has been working out at this thing called Orange Theory. I don't know if you've heard it. It's a new workout thing. So she dragged me to go with her, and it clicked and it kind of motivated me. So once we came back from that weekend, I started making an effort to go to the gym. Before school, and even though it was difficult to go, just having that time before the chaos of the day start has really helped. And I know Aya's had a little, you know, she has a funk every now and then too, and her own things, and she's been taking time before, you know, before just jumping in the shower and rushing to get ready for work too, have some mind space of her own. And she's noticed a huge change there too. So
that's good.
You know, and that's the other thing you mentioned with balance though, is, you know, I've heard balance be described as more of like a pendulum, because if I'm standing on one foot and I've got all these things, I'm balancing. But as soon as one of those things gets a little off, like the whole thing crumbles, right? Like we tend to be an all or nothing. You know, it's like, so I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to go every day, and I'm going to crush it. And then, like, one day I might be up late and I can't get up in the morning, and then the whole thing falls apart.
Oh, I can. So I can relate to that.
There was a therapist I had seen described like a pendulum, and it swing, like, you want it to be close to the middle, but things are going to swing. You know, you got a trip for vacation, or, you know, there's something busy at school and everything you want to do doesn't get done, but it's going to swing back and forth.
Right.
But as soon as you have that perfectly balanced and you're on your at one foot and you're like, it's balanced, but barely, you know, a light gust comes and the whole thing comes crashing out. It's like a house of cards. So that analogy had really stuck with me.
No, it makes sense. I mean, and I can totally relate. I mean, that kind of, that exactly, that happened to me, and it's still, I'm trying to work out of it. But, you know, we were in the midst of selling a house, buying a house, wife was pregnant, and finding out that our daughter was going to, had AVSD, and it was just like, I was in shape, I was doing all these, you know, working out all the time, and then, you know, doing a lot with the family, and always, I was telling, I was on the go, 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 and then all of a sudden that came up, and it was just like, my world just stopped, and it was all focused on that one thing. So it's been, and it still is, it's still hard. And it's hard to, and it's encouraging to hear that you are, you know, to get back is just taking that one step to like wake up and go, wow, you know, I need to do a little bit of something else. So it's encouraging to know that, you know, that, you know, how, you know, other people's experiences and how you've gotten through that. So, but yeah, I can totally agree. I mean, when you hit something and it's just all or nothing, but I never heard that analogy that in that way. And it's totally true when I look back and what our experience was as our family, how that works. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely some tough things to talk about, though. And I don't think it's necessarily, you don't just, you know, if I went on Google right now, I mean, well, you did. What did you find, a lot, or was it just, you know, on male depression in general? Did you find a lot?
I didn't really focus on male, just depression, focus on depression, but, fathers. I tried to see what was there for fathers. Okay. There was quite a bit about postpartum with fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes sense thinking back to, you know, when I was working, when I found out we were pregnant, and, you know, I did feel this extra weight of like, shit, I got to get my career together, or I got to get more of a career path focused. And, you know, now that I'm home, I don't have that weight of the financial burden on my mind. Cause I handle everything else, but, you know, it's a big change. And I think men, I mean, it's great. And Lisa was in me, I mean, not even from my dad, but, just from watching people around us, like it's ingrained in men to be providers. So, and then, you know, you're going to have this kid and have a family, like it gets in your head. I know it got in my head when I graduated college. Like I was extremely hard on myself, and like, I didn't just relax and take those next steps. Like I had a lot of anxious energy after we graduated, where I was super restless. I was like, this is what I worked for. Like, this is what I worked so hard in college for. Like, this is life. Like, this doesn't seem right. I was super impatient.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and you know, I think just in general too, to kind of tag on what you said about, you know, having that ingrained that you always, you know, you're going to provide, you need to have this job that's going to provide, and you're going to be able to do everything for your family. You know, along with that too, is it's more so prevalent now, and maybe it's just what I read or what I look at or follow or listen to, whether it's, you know, on a podcast or on TV or read it in the news. But, you know, it's definitely taking steps forward, as to speaking about these things and being okay talking about them and with colleagues or friends or whoever you feel comfortable with. But it's still, I don't feel like it's at that position where it's just all okay. And it's still difficult to talk about. And, you know, and hopefully it's making steps in the right direction. Maybe by the time our children are older, or, you know, that will totally change. But, I think that's part of it too.
It's it's extremely vulnerable. And, you know, in my circle of friends, I know I could talk to them about it.
Right.
But it's like as soon as you start talking about it, like I tend to naturally just try to make light of it. Oh, yeah, I'm a little depressed. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But it is a big deal. And it's just such a hard thing to talk about, because it's almost like as you talk about it, you kind of hear on a level how ridiculous it sounds, or at least I do. Mm-hmm. Because like, man, like some people have real problems. Like, what the fuck am I complaining about? You know,
right.
This is, I have nothing to complain about, but there's this dark cloud that shows up. And,
it's hard.
Even with my closest friends, it's very hard to talk about. But it's easier to talk to somebody who has depression. One of my friends, you know, we can talk in depth about that, because I feel like she knows exactly what I'm talking about when I don't even have the words for it.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, I mean, even here talking about it, it's not always the most comfortable thing, and you know, and not that it shouldn't be talked about, but it is. It's vulnerable. It's letting your guard down.
Right. It's almost like sharing like this dirty secret.
And that's what, you know, my hope is that, you know, and I have a positive outlook, hopefully, here that's starting to change, hopefully, and it's becoming more talked about in media and other, you know, spokespeople or people that are maybe have the opportunity to speak out more. There's a couple, you know, people out there that are doing more. There's, I don't know if you've seen it yet, and you know, I'm gonna push it here. I really enjoy his podcast. I listen to Beautiful Anonymous, and I don't know if you've ever listened to him before or not.
No, I haven't.
It's Chris Gethard, and he did a whole stand-up. And it is a stand-up, especially. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. He did a whole performance art stand-up on his depression and where mm-hmm. he was in a dark place, and when he was in college, and he's about our age, you know, in late 30s. He does a whole bit, and it was sponsored. It was produced by Judd Apatow, was off Broadway. And he's done a couple different other things with like Ira Glass and whatnot. He's really, he speaks out a lot about, depression and dealing with depression and just, you know, he tells his story, and he tries to, obviously he's a comedian, so he uses his performance art in it, but it really gets a good message across to those people that are looking for something to just kind of at least see somebody speaking about it and maybe can relate if they can't talk to somebody. It's a good place. It's on HBO. It's a, I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, and I'm sure I can find it, but yeah, that was a good place, and I know he talks quite a bit about it on his podcast, Beautiful Anonymous, too, which is a really great human piece. It's a very cool piece on humanity and what he does there without getting into too much of it, but he does talk quite a bit about depression, and I've kind of been able to relate to that, and I don't know if that's you know, I mean, I think, you know, like I was saying earlier, we're in a stressed place, and I feel like I've gotten myself into different places now, with what has been happening, where I was in that dark place where everything kind of crumbled, we talked about, but part of that, I think, was utilizing that space for me to hear it from someone else, and you know, and
right.
So that's a good outlet, too, so if somebody wants to check it out, you know, that podcast, it's Beautiful Anonymous, and I'm going to find that, you know, I will find that stand-up show. So if folks want to check that out, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. So
yeah, the other thing that's tough about it is, you know, I realize there's so many things I could do to take a step to get out of it, but they all seem like such work. And I was talking to a friend recently, and she described depression as like, imagine like you're drowning, and you know, somebody throws in that little white little floaty thing with the mm-hmm. rope.
Yeah.
And you're drowning, and you see it, and all you have to do is just reach out and grab that rope. It's in your reach. You just have to grab it to take that first step to pull yourself up. But you just can't reach that. You just can't. You don't have the energy to grab that rope, even though it's right there in front of you.
Right.
So, like, you know, for all summer, I was thinking, oh, I just need to start working out again. I know that's going to make me feel better. I need to, you know, I need to write. I need to do that. Like, I've seen things I need to do that I know are going to help. But I just, like, damn it. I just can't. So, like, I'll take a nap instead, or I'm going to watch a dumb show again and just, like, live this, like, numbness. So I'm glad that I've been able to take that first step to go back to the gym. It's something you've been trying to do forever. You know, it's like I go back to the gym like 3 times a year. It seems like I'm going to do it this time, but it doesn't matter if this one lasts or not. You know, right now I'm not thinking about that. It's just like, but I feel better. So,
but I mean, in an outside, and I don't know, I'm not, any of what we do is not clinical. We're not trained in any of this and not, you know, medically licensed to do any of this. But, you know, even if, in my opinion, if it was me doing it, and it's always easier said than done, if I step back and go, well, okay, I didn't do it the whole time, but it got me that first step to help me move forward.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, okay, so I didn't lose the weight that I wanted to lose, or I didn't get into the shape, or I can't run that mile faster. But, you know, at the end of the day, what happened, what was the result? Okay, now I'm back into the swing of things, and I'm doing more from, you know, for whatever, I'm doing my writing, or, you know, it got me back to doing more of those scheduled things. So, you know, I think that it is a success, even though you may not see it physically. There's still something there that, you know, and that's just what I would try and take from it. But then again, it's hard. It's easier said than done from an outsider looking in too, when it comes to that specific thing. And I get it. You know, I've been saying those things too. There's a lot I can relate to, saying, yeah, I got to go back to the gym, I got to do this, it's going to do that. And it's just like, it's that balance. And like you said, and when you take that first step, a lot of other things get better. And, you know, I hope that continues to help for you. And I hope you continue to do that, because, you know, it seems like it's just such a positive thing also for you.
It's a shock too, because I don't know how other people are, but being sad or depressed, it starts to feel comfortable, like becomes your normal, at least for me. And like, I'm naturally attracted to melancholy things, like music that, you know, is sad sounding. Like I love that. I find it beautiful. You know, promotes emotion in a way.
It's vulnerable.
That I'm attracted to, you know, documentaries or drama movies that are, you know, deep, and like, you know, I'm attracted to all that stuff. And so to acknowledge happiness sometimes feels foreign. It feels uncomfortable. So it's weird. Like, there's times that I've been like really down, I look back in my life and I'm glad I'm not there, but I also like miss it in a weird way. It's really weird. So it's always been a struggle to like acknowledge happiness and to like accept it and be okay with it. Yeah, I don't have the answer for that. It's just, it is what it is.
I wish I did too. I don't have the answer, but you know, the good thing is, and I feel like, and it comes from a lot of different places, it's that first step of like just moving forward and acknowledging it and recognizing it. Because I feel like if you don't recognize it, things can get worse. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And it's an encouraging thing. You know, and hopefully people out there do those things. They try and, you know, like you found a friend that took you to the gym. Maybe they saw something that said, hey, you're going, you know, and just kind of stepped up. And hopefully that everybody has that chance for that, because I think that sometimes it can get worse, you know, and who knows where it leads. Did you find, and this is out of my own curiosity, so you mentioned, and it stuck out to me, you'll watch, you know, documentaries that might go into a dark place, or listen to melancholy music or things. Do you think that perpetuates it? Or do you think when you have recognized being depressed and you start to use your coping skills for whatever you have that you use to move you from that deeper depression to moving out of that. Do you find that you move away from those things, or do you continue and it's just, you know, what you enjoy, or do you think it perpetuates it, or?
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it makes me feel better. But sometimes, like, if I'm feeling particularly good and maybe something comes on that sounds, you know, it could like bring me down a level. And so I might be like, you know what, I need to not go there right now.
Right.
And can, you know, put on some Jackson 5 or something that's more up.
Just come see my halftime show. but yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, I would say yes and no. Sometimes mm-hmm. with the shows, you know, I will avoid the shows. But sometimes, like, seeing some stuff that's really, like, when Ellie was first born, I was first staying home. I watched this, like, 6-part series on Auschwitz,
mm-hmm.
which was obviously some very heavy stuff. But in this weird way, like, that would be what I would watch, you know, when I was in bed and Ellie was sleeping, and in this weird way, it made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can explain why, but it did.
Right.
But yeah, sometimes I'm like, damn, why can't I just find like a comedy that I right. can just like but chill
think,
and laugh
I to? I think sometimes there's a thing there too, though, that you find comfort in knowing that you're not alone when you're going through something, or knowing that there's things could always be worse, maybe somewhere down in the back of your mind. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, you know, I don't know how it's been, you know, it's been for us, but you know, I know when everything kind of crumbled down for me last year, it was tough. It was a hard situation, and it was very hard on me. I'd never been in that place before. I've always had some sort of anxiety or something. I'm an anxious person, that I'm an excited person, but I never felt that, like you said, and I didn't totally quite understand why I was didn't want to do certain things. Like, it didn't dawn on me. I was just like, man, I can't do this stuff anymore. I don't understand. You know, I guess it's part of denial. And then, you know, as my daughter then came, and then we saw kind of the progression, things got better for me. I think she kind of saved that for me, you know, her coming and her recovery so fast. And then the interaction that we had with her to help her. And my wife's been amazing. She does some amazing things and has been really key in her and my daughter's health. And I think all those things, just that directly, really helped me a lot and moved me forward. So it's like you said, it's taking that one step. Mine just happened to be, I think, from that whole situation, happened to be, you know, my daughter finally getting here and just getting through each step. So,
right, yeah.
You know, and I don't know, you know, and I don't think anything as far as depression, you know, mine happened to be maybe to deal with all those things that happened at the same time. And on the surface, I look at it and go, man, that's not that big of, like you said earlier, it's not a big deal. What's, you know, why should I be that upset? I mean, obviously the surgery is a big deal, but you're selling a house and buying a house. That's not a big deal. Why are you stressed? You know, it's, but my big deal that I made of it was a big deal. You know, whatever, you know, happened to trigger, you know, what happened for you in depression, it is a big deal. And just because one may be a death in a family, I'm just saying hypothetical, one may be a death in a family for somebody that makes them depressed, and somebody didn't get that job that they did their third interview for, there's no comparison. One depression is worse than the other. They're all kind of just, it's tough. It's an uphill climb all the time.
And sometimes there is no reason.
No, right.
Sometimes there is no trigger. It just,
right.
It is.
Yeah, and it's hard, and like I said, I hopefully this here will help people and maybe feel a little more comfortable to find somebody, you know, and I can't encourage it enough. If, you know, if somebody is in that dark place, you know, or you see a friend or somebody listening is in that position, you know, call somebody, talk to somebody, try. You know, I don't know what's your advice, but just, you know, it's hopefully somebody can help somebody out, or they can reach out for help, because it's, you know, it's not always easy. And I don't know how you do that or how you say that, but hopefully us talking about it here today, or I was talking about the comedian I was telling you about, Chris Gethard, before his show. I did look it up, as career suicide. Those type of things are crucial in today's world, and I think a lot of that has to do with so much information coming at us and so many different crazy, unusual things happening in the world right now that shouldn't be.
Right.
It puts us all in a weird place. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy right now, and I don't know what it's going to continue to be like in the next few years or decades.
Yeah, it's some heavy stuff right now.
But, you know, I think there is a generation after us that's coming up that I think they're making some moves to, you know, hopefully change that. And I think hopefully we're seeing it now with media, and we're seeing it with different people just speaking up that may not have spoken up in the past about whether it's depression or speaking up for your neighbor or whatever.
So, right. Yeah.
And hopefully that, that this helps or something will help. And, you know, my hope is that somebody that if they're listening to this, if they're in that place, you know, try and find somebody that you can talk to or relate to. I don't know, Matt, if you have anything that you can kind of add to that.
Yeah. Just reach out to anybody.
Right. Yeah. And you know, like you said, I think it's scary because it's vulnerable, but I think once you reach out to that one person, I can't say 100% of the time, but I would almost bet that 99% of the time, that person, if they're your friend or they're your spouse or they're your significant other, will listen.
Listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as a person that might be on the other end, listen, you know, if you see it, listen or ask, talk, say something. Would you, as somebody that's dealt with depression, if somebody saw this going on and they can recognize it, if somebody said something to you, would you...
Like a stranger?
No. Like a close friend or somebody would recognize what's going on.
Oh, no. I had a friend. She's like, you know what? I mean, she probably started to notice a pattern in what I was talking about, how I was talking about it. And she just blurted out one day. She's like, I think you're depressed. Mm-hmm. And I'd never associated that with me. I'd never thought that. And at first I was like, no, that's not me. But it stuck with me, and I thought about it. I was like, shit, I think she's right. And like I said, it's been a tough realization to look at that and look back and see a pattern, or if there's not a pattern, but just see that. Yeah, it has. There is this something that I thought was maybe part of my personality, is this thing that comes and goes. Sometimes it's stronger than others, and you know, it's always there.
Yeah, that's what I think too. So, like, I think I was getting at was, if you're a person that sees a friend or a close friend or a close relative or, like I said, a significant other, don't be afraid to say something. Because in the long run, it's going to be healthy for that person, whether they see it or not right away. But at least maybe it'll trigger an acknowledgement to something. I don't know. You know, I don't know either. Like I said, I'm not trained in any of this either, so I can't speak for medical terms.
Yeah, for me, for her saying that, I didn't take it as an attack or like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, I trusted her enough. I knew it came from a good place of concern. And in further conversations, you know, it was very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I think this is something that I'm sure we'll talk more. Maybe there's somebody listening out there that is trained in this, that is a, you know, has some sort of medical background or some sort of, you know, college experience or whatever, higher education on depression or, you know, psychology or any of those things that they, you know, hopefully maybe somebody will reach out. Maybe we can do this something, talk about this some more and get a different angle on it.
Yeah.
I think it's a super important thing to do. I think we've got, you know, down the pike here, we've been talking a lot, and there's some exciting things possibly that are going to kind of, you know, take our show with us and kind of go on. And then we have some heavy things coming up too that I can't say that we're excited about, but I think that it's important to have. And we have some great guests that have kind of have agreed to come on and discuss some things in the near future. So we'll be coming back at you, I think, pretty quickly here after this episode. We'll have another one coming up, and I think we'll have a few coming up. Hopefully we'll do a few more. It's been a busy summer. It's been crazy.
Very busy, yeah.
I think we've you and I haven't seen you in a while, and we've been saying we're going to do something together with the families, and we haven't done it since the last time we did it. So it's crazy, but I think it's going to, hopefully these next few things and the last few episodes for people, although heavy and sometimes hard to talk about, hopefully they'll help some of the folks and help some other guys out there that maybe feeling in a similar way, or you know, just want to get some more information. So you know, we appreciate all the listeners. It's been a great ride so far up till now. I can't believe how many we've had so far. It's been increasing and increasing every year. So thank you to those that are listening. You know, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us. And if you could, you know, please leave us some sort of rating. It does help us in the long run. We don't do this for any sort of advertising or anything like that, but we do appreciate any feedback that we get, because then we can kind of also cater our shows to those people. So hopefully in the near future here, you guys will be listening to us again. And, you know, thanks for joining us on the Dad Experience. Check out Matt's blog, as always, thedomesticspecialist.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Busatel, or follow the Dad Experience on Twitter at the Dad EXP Podcast. And we will catch you in a few weeks. Thanks so much for listening, Matt. Thank you for sharing. It's been it was definitely an informative episode, and I really appreciate you sharing from the heart, and appreciate you for being here and doing this with me, because it's definitely been something that's helped me out a lot. And you know, I don't say it enough to you, and on top of just this episode, but you are a parent and a father that I do look to as one that I strive to be. So,
thank you.
You know, all the best, and hopefully continued positivity here for you on, you know, the next, you know, as we continue to go and grow. So I look forward to meeting up with you again and doing
and good luck back to school.
Well, thank you. And you know, I'm sure that all the big events that are going to start rolling in here for you too, I'm, you know, good luck with all those, and I'm getting involved with the school some more, like I know you are so much. So thanks guys for listening, and you know, hopefully we'll catch you next time on the Dad Experience. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.